Brother David, you come and share what God's put on your heart. I've asked him to share a little bit about his time in Egypt. Some of you may not be familiar with his testimony, but they did serve there, reaching Muslims until they had to leave due to other circumstances, and he's going to mention that tonight. But Brother David, you come and preach God's word and testify tonight. Thank you, brother.
Well, it's been a blessing being here already and just had a great time of fellowship.
It has been good seeing you, preacher. And I met Pastor actually when we were on deputation years ago to go to Egypt. And they were also on deputation to go to Niger. And it's just a blessing how the Lord just brings things to pass and just meeting in the church here, doing what God would have us to do. And as you know, like I was saying, we were going there with the heart to go to Egypt, because what happened was I took a missions trip to North Africa when I was in Peru, South America. I was in Peru for 6 months, and I always had a burden for Africa. Some people say, don't say you'll go over God and send you. He might send you to Africa. I said, well, praise God, I want to go to Africa, you know. And I had a burden for that area. And so while there in North Africa, and visiting Morocco and Tunisia, I asked God a question. I said, God, don't you love the Muslim people? You know, does he? Of course he does. He does. And I saw that these nations, 99% Muslim, I don't know, maybe even more, maybe a little less, there was hardly any missionaries there. I said, God, why are there no missionaries in these places, these people? And it just broke my heart to see that. And I would think this, I said, if the rapture were to occur here, no one would even know. Can you imagine that? Nations not even noticing anybody disappearing? I mean, seriously, if the rapture were to occur, and which, by the grace of God, soon, but these countries, Morocco, Tunisia, Saudi Arabia, maybe a few people would disappear. What happened to that guy? Where'd they go? People would just keep going on because no one disappeared. No one would be gone. And it just broke my heart to see that. And so God, of course, He put us there in Egypt, and I thank the Lord for that. God let us serve there from 2010 to 2017. We were there when, I don't know if you ever heard about the Arab Spring, where there was uprisings, there was bombs going off. That happened right in front of our house. There was gunfire and crazy stuff going on like that. And it was wild. You know, it was just one of those things. You're like, man, why would I want to go to mission field if that were to happen? You know, and I found that, just like we talked about this morning, that we have a worthy Savior. We have a loving God. And the same Christ that died on the cross, He took care of us while we were there. He took care of our needs. We had times where we were fearful because of that, what was going on. But I found that when we just trusted the Lord that He would take care of us, He did. You know, I had a friend that said at that time, because right when the gunfire was going off in front of our house, you know, a friend of mine called, and he said, what's going on? I said, man, we got gunfire going in front of our house. And he said, don't be fearful. You know, and he said, if you're fearful, your wife will be 100 times more fearful. Trust God. Pray. Pray, but don't pray so long, because sometimes when you pray, that fear will come back. Pray and just trust God. Just comfort your family. You know what I did? That's what I did. And I found that the Lord met my need right in that right timing. And I also was reading the scripture, and of course we know that that in the multitude of counselors there's safety. So I was thinking at that time to call my pastor and then two other pastor friends that I have. And my pastor's the type that would normally say, hey, you trust the Lord, follow the Holy Spirit and the Word, He'll guide you. And I was going to call one pastor. He'd been in mission field for like 20 years. And so I knew he'd probably say, stay, you'll be okay. And the other, I didn't know where he'd say. He's just up in the air. I was like, okay, I don't know what he's going to say, but I'll call him. So I called my pastor, and he said this, get out of there. You know, he said, get out of there. He's like, your kids might, something happened to your kids, you just regret it. So he just told me straight up, it's time to go. And they flew us back to the States, and we were there for a month. And I say this, because maybe you're going through a time of tribulation in your life where you're serving a guy, and you don't, serving the Lord, you don't know what you're supposed to do. You know, God will guide you. We can trust that He guides, that He'll provide for your needs, and He's just faithful to do that each and every day. I'll come back to that in just a little bit. But also, you know, while there and headed in Cairo, Egypt, God just blessed in different ways. You know, He showed His love, He showed His grace and His leadership. And really, that's what I want to just talk about tonight. I'll just kind of share my testimony, share about things in Egypt, share and how God shut that door, but also about some of the blessings that we have right now in Dearborn, Michigan. Let's pray and we'll just continue on in my testimony and in the Word of God. Our Heavenly Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And God, I do thank You so much that You are faithful and You're good to us. And Lord, we know that You simply want to use us for Your glory. And Lord, let us realize that there are people all over the world without a Savior, but also not missing those right in front of us, Lord. God, there's people right in front of us, right at maybe neighbors or the man that works at the grocery store or the lady that's serving us at the restaurant. Lord, they're hurting. They have problems just like we do as well. They simply need someone to show them the love of Christ and tell them about the King of Kings that died for their sins. Lord, I pray that You just help us to be open to these, to those around us, to see the need and to say, I will do whatever it takes, dear God, to see them come to You. I'm trusting You. Lord, help us to know these things and to be guided by Your Spirit and Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And so those early times in Egypt, they were tough on the family sometimes, but we found there was rewards in just being a servant to the people and just loving them where they're at. And so I won't, continue on too much about what happened in Cairo, but there were some difficulties. There was times where we had to decide to say yes to the Lord in difficult circumstances. Because before we went to Egypt, we made a decision. You know, whatever happens, we're just going to trust the Lord. And be honest, when dealing with the Islamic culture, they're some of the most hospitable people we've ever met, aren't you?
Yeah.
Pastor was talking about that today. We're talking about how hospitable and how friendly they are and loving. But there's some that there is terrorists. You know, there's some people that are terrorists. So we were saying we had to make a decision that we would go no matter the cost. If it took our lives or what, you know, or get kicked out of the country, which I'll share. That's what happened. And we started a ministry there that where people could order Bibles online. And so they would go to a website and for our friend that's in the States, Arabic Bible Outreach, they'd order a Bible. And then if it was in Egypt, he'd send us their name. And so while there in doing that, I started meeting people that wanted Bibles, Muslims. And so I told my friend Gergis, the pastor that we have there now, I said, if a Muslim orders a Bible, then you never go alone. Two of us will go. You start out first by, I would go and talk to the person, and he would be in the background. And so if something happened, he can call my wife, you know, or he can call my friend that I trusted there in Egypt. If something happened, if they arrest me or whatever, you know, and so we would always do that. So finally, he started doing the same thing. I left that ministry to him. And then as that happened, I would say to him, hey, you do the same thing. And so one time he said, hey, these Muslim guys, they ordered a Bible. And I said, that's great. Let's go. He said, they're outside of Cairo in a not too crowded area. And so on the way there, he said this. He said, you know, Mahmoud, the guy that ordered the Bible, he looks like a fundamental Muslim. I was like, you didn't tell me that. You know, I was like, come on now. He's like, yeah, but I have peace about it. I was like, okay, I'm glad you have peace about it. And but we get there, and I said to this to Gergis. I said, Gergis, I said, you know what this means. You know, anything can happen. And I said, arrest or death, you know. And he said this. He says, you know what, Brother David? I knew when I signed up for that could happen. He said, and I'm ready. And my wife is ready. You know, because we realize that he, like that's what we talk about, is worthy. We're ready for this. And to me, that was a victory. Because in Egypt, there's a lot of times people say, why are you witnessing for the Muslims? They're the dogs. That's what the Coptics would say. So, quote unquote, Christians, they're the pigs. They can't understand the Bible. But we have a Savior that said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We had to make a decision to say we love them no matter the cost. And it was a blessing to see that, because while we were there, God used us to see a church started, and these people that we loved and discipled and poured our life into, they're still being faithful today. And as a matter of fact, you know, God provided for a building there. He used us and used the believers there. And right now, Pastor Gergis, he's at a point where he's getting kicked out of his home. And so, you know what we're going to do? We're going to try to help him find a home, you know, and just help him out, because I know the circumstances are there just like they're here. He's hurting. And so we just wanted to kind of help out and give towards that project to him, to find a home where they won't kick him out. Because in Egypt, if you're renting from somebody, they can at any time say, get out. You know, just renting it. There's not these contracts that they have. They just kind of say, hey, my son's getting married. I'm giving him the home. You got 2 months. And so he's like me and you. He likes stability. His wife likes that. And we're like, man, we're going to find a way you can get your own home. You know, and I tell you, he's such a blessing. And so, because times in life, things don't go the way we sometimes think. And that's exactly what happened when we left Cairo for furlough. And we stayed there for 2 years for language, left for a short furlough. That's when we found out Joshua has a rare medical condition called tuberous sclerosis. But we went back to Cairo for 4 years of church planning, and he had this condition where he was having seizures and tumors in his brain and things like this. And it was hard. It was very hard on me, but especially hard on Beth, because me, Pastor, you're like me. You know, we can focus on the ministry, focus on the work. We got the people, our things we deal with. We're going to go knock on the doors. We're going to go talk to people about the Lord, witness. But Mama's at home with that kid all the time. And it's just her ministry, of course, was to me and the family. But at the same time, she's trying to disciple ladies and talk to them about the Lord. And I tell you, you know, sometimes that you guys look at me as the missionary. But man, I have a wife. She's amazing. And she has tribulation that I can't understand, you know. Because I'm up front trying to do this, but she's also trying to reach women, also trying to teach the Bible, also doing this, but she's taking care of Joshua with tumors in his brain. You know, at home and teaching the kids and keeping things in line at the house, and it's hard. And whenever that was happening with Joshua, we were having to deal with his medical condition. And so we found that out right before we're about to fly back to Cairo. And it was just really, really crazy. But we thank the Lord for His goodness. Because when we found out about that, I know I'm kind of backtracking on this, but the Lord just brought it to mind, about his tumors, we were all distraught and wondering what's going to happen. Because we found that out about 2 days before we were supposed to fly back to Cairo. For that time. And on the way to the airport, it's all quiet and somber. And then Joshua started singing out of nowhere. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. And that just broke the silence. And that's what gave us rest. That's why we're going back to Cairo, you know. And I pray that whatever you're going through in your life, that you'll just say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And we found joy in going back, and joy in seeing Pastor Gergis grow in the faith and the work just continuing on. And when we left for the States, you know, usually what you do the 4 years, and then you do like a year like furlough, and you give updates to churches. That's what we planned on doing. And so that was the plan that we thought we were going to do. But what happened was this. Whenever I came back to the States, Beth's uncle and his wife, they're getting ready to have a baby. And Beth knew that, you know, they're getting ready to have a baby while we're in Egypt and we're getting ready to come back. So she said this. I said, David, I'm driving back from a meeting. I was in Carolina and coming back to Georgia. So David, I was like, yeah. Kelly and Skip had a baby. I was like, praise God. The state took the baby away. Oh no. Do you want to adopt them? I was like, hold on now. You know? I was like, just like that. Because they had drug problems. You know, they took the baby away the first day. And they called up and they said, somebody's got to take the baby. And Beth asked me that. And I said, well, give me at least 10 minutes to pray about it. You know, I'm on the side of the road. I'm praying about what to do. Of course, I said, yes, let's do that. And so this was supposed to be a family adoption that takes 7 months. They said, oh, it'll be 9 months at the max. And so we're like, praise God, we'll have the baby. We'll get to be able to go back to Cairo in no time. You know, that's what we thought. But then 9 months turns to 1 year. 1 year, year and a half. Year and a half, 2 years. I'm thinking, God, you know, how can this be? You know, I'm supposed to be a missionary in Egypt, but I'm still in America. You know? And so this whole time, God's just working in my heart. And, you know, you're always, when you're on deputation, you're supported by pastors, you're thinking, what are these pastors going to think? What are these churches going to think? I'm in the States. I'm trying to figure things out. They're thinking, he's supposed to be in Egypt. Why is he here in the States? And, you know, thank God for the church support us. But sometimes you wonder, we put ourselves in this mix like, man, they're going to be upset. And some of them probably are wondering, like, what in the world's going on? And that's going on in my mind. And so something I learned was this. I am not defined by what I do, but by who Christ is and who I am in Christ. Sometimes we define ourselves by, who are you? Well, I'm a missionary. Well, I'm a preacher. I'm a carpenter. Whatever it is. But that shouldn't define us. Jesus is the one that defines us. I am a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a Christian. Before I'm a missionary, before I'm a pastor or a preacher or a teacher or even a father or a husband, those things are great. I belong to Jesus. And I pray that's something that helps you out, because maybe things will shift in your circumstances and you don't know what's happening. You don't understand it. And you think you lose your job or whatever. This person dies or whatever. I don't know what it is. But you're defined by who Jesus is and who you are in Him. And that was helpful to me because I didn't know why I was still in the States. And I found that God knows what He's doing. You know, He knows what He's doing. And He was working in my heart, changing my heart towards the States. And when I flew back into Cairo, because Gergis had been faithful for over a year and a half, I'm like, man, the church is growing. It's thriving. I'm not there. We should have done this a long time ago. Just left and let the church grow, you know, because Christ builds the church. So I flew back in, and that's when with my pastor and also Pastor Blackstock down in Georgia and also his wife, Pastor Blackstock's wife. And when I got there, they locked me up in the airport, you know. They locked me up there, and they didn't know what was going on. They went through customs easily. They got their passport checked and just went on through. They looked at my passport, looked at the screen, looked at me, said, go over there. We have some questions for you. I was like, okay. I was like, is there a problem? They're like, oh, no problem. Everything in Egypt is no problem. That's what they say. Mafish mushkila. That means no problem. I was like, fi mushkila? Allah. Mafish mushkila. I'm like, no problem. I was like, okay. So that's what I did. So that one point took, you know, that took about, you know, a couple minutes, turned out to be 18 hours. And they didn't know where I was at. I couldn't get in touch with Beth. I'm in there wondering what in the world's going on. And so they're questioning me, asking me questions. And I thought I was getting ready to get out of the airport because they saw me finally after many, many hours, like about 10, 12, I don't remember how long it was. And then instead of going out with them, they go into the country and they put me up into lockup in the airport. And I said, why is this, what's going on? I want out of here now. They said, you want into the country? I was like, yeah. You're not going in our country. You're going back to America. You know, and that's exactly what happened. And I know, you know, sometimes we got all mad. We won't let these people in our war. You know, there's a lot of people who are upset. But man, a country really doesn't have to let you in. If you're not a citizen, they could just say no and don't give you a reason. And that's what they did. They didn't give me any reason. And I went back to the States wondering what's going on. And I found that, you know, after that, I tried again in 3 months, and that's when they locked me up again. But while in that little jail area, I was able to witness to Muslims and preach Christ to them in this little locked up area, you know, I was in. And it was a blessing. It was actually during Ramadan. This is Ramadan right now for Muslims. And so we broke the fast together, and I was in this little holding area in the airport. And the Holy Spirit started working in my heart, saying, you know what? Why don't you talk to them again about Jesus? And that's when God worked in my heart, and I was able to witness to jihad that was in there. I said, jihad, why don't you tell me your favorite story in the Quran, and I'll tell you my favorite story in the Bible. And so that's what he does. And then from there, I was able to talk to him about the prodigal son, the loving father, in front of all these Muslims. You know, it was, and then I told him about the woman caught in adultery that was loved by Jesus. You know, I find that I thought about this. I said, those guys never heard that before. They never heard the gospel before. They might not ever hear it again. Why? Because they're from places like Yemen. They're going to have to go back to Yemen. How many missions do you know in Yemen? They're going back to Jordan. Going back to Emirates. Not a lot of missionaries there. And I thought, they might not ever hear that again. And it broke my heart. But I thank God he put me in there. And he shut that door. And I was wondering what in the world is going to happen. So I felt like that even when we don't understand his ways, he's still good. You know, we know that verse, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Where's that at? Anybody know? Now, who knows Romans 8:29? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's what's important. Because all things work together for good. Why? To make us more and more and more like Jesus. It's to change us to be into his image. That's what the purpose is. For his good, for his glory. And I found that I didn't understand why I was getting kicked out of Egypt, because God, don't you know that 90% of the nation is headed to hell? Lord, don't you know that 9% of them, 99%, because 9% are Orthodox, 90% are Muslim, there's no missionaries there hardly. Maybe 70 Baptist churches in the whole country. I'm like, God, what's going on? You know what? He's still God. He's still on the throne. And I had to trust him. And so, while here in the States, God opened up our hearts to Dearborn, Michigan. You know, and we found that Joshua needed treatment for his condition. And if he was in Egypt, he wouldn't be able to get treated well. We would have to fly back every year to the States. So God said, you know what? Joshua needs treatment here, and the Muslims need the gospel here as well. And we found Dearborn, Michigan. We found that it's the largest Islamic area in North America. It has the largest Islamic mosque. Was in Dearborn. And I was telling Pastor about this today. So that picture on my card you'll see is the largest mosque. Now it's the number two mosque. The largest mosque is about 10 minutes from there in Redford, Michigan. And how many of you know who J. Frank Norris is? Maybe we preachers might know. He was the one that kind of started the fundamental independent Baptist movement. There was like the Southern Baptist, he broke away, and then the independent Baptist church started. I know Baptist churches go back from the time of scriptures. We're not Protestant, anything like that. But a lot of the Baptist movement for independent Baptists was started by just man J. Frank Norris. And now we see that this church that he started in Detroit, in Redford, was sold to, he left that church and sold it to some charismatics, you know. And now the charismatics sold it to who? The Muslims. It's now going to be the largest mosque in America. Once independent Baptist, now it's a mosque. It's terrible, isn't it? There's a great need. When we went to Dearborn, we would knock on the doors and people were friendly, but the church down the road is now like a social center. Another church down the road that was Baptist is now a mosque. Besides that one there, it was also a huge one right on Ford Road where thousands of cars pass every day. And we saw the need there. And I found out, guess what? God knows what he's doing. And you know what? If Egypt opened right up again today, I wouldn't go. I'd go visit, but I know God sent me, called me, or put me in Dearborn. You know, I rest in that because there's a great need. And thank God for the churches that are there. But not a lot of them are confronting the Muslims with the gospel. And if we saw a Muslim saved there, they could go all over the place. They can go into Egypt again. They can go into Yemen. They can go to Emirates. They can go to these places that I couldn't even get into if we saw them saved and trained there. And I find that, you know what? Jesus said this, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And I thank God for His leading and everything that we do. You know, God led us and we found Pastor Staub. And he's a blessing from Silver Lane Baptist Church. He let us use their prophet chamber and to use for our Bible study that we have right now. And we're seeing people come in. We've had, at the time, we did some Arabic festivals where we have halal food. And then whenever we have had this happening, we've had hundreds and hundreds of Muslims come because we've done it like 3 or 4 times. And every time they come, they have... We have Bibles and tracts that are right there at the table, and we give them out to the people that come. And we've had some, come visit the Bible study, even if they like to argue and go back and forth, but they're coming. And they're listening to the gospel. And we're going to have another one in May. We're going to have another one as well. And so we found that God is letting us give the gospel out to not just Egypt, but to many nations that are represented there right in Dearborn, Michigan. Because there are people from Yemen, there are some Egyptians, there are some people Lebanese and Syrian and all these different areas. And then right down the road in Hamtramck, it's one of the only Muslim majority cities in America, Hamtramck. It's right about 15 minutes from where we're at. And so these cities are right here that are filled with Muslim people that need the gospel. And I found that, you know, we were able to do some door knocking. As well, of course, some people are like, do you do door knocking in Dearborn? Isn't it like Sharia law there? No, it's not. It's not Sharia law. You guys are doing business. You know what we do? We do the same thing there. We didn't do door knocking in Egypt, to be honest with you. We did it. We did it because we knew we probably would get kicked out. But you know what we did? We built relationships. So every person I saw that I'd pass out Bibles to them. I'd get in the car in taxis and talk to them about Jesus and give them a Bible. That's probably why we got kicked out, because we found out that other missionaries that were witnessing the Muslims, they got kicked out at the same time. And so we believe that's what happened. And so in Dearborn, we're able to go door to door, and it still works. There's a girl named Ella. She is actually from Iran, and was Afghan, raised in Iran. And she came to the States, but before she came to the States, she went to Mecca. Who knows what Mecca is? Anybody know what Mecca is? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's their pilgrimage. Right. So at the end of Ramadan, a lot of times they'll take a pilgrimage to Mecca. It's like their holy city. She went to Mecca and left Islam. You know, she saw the most holy place of Islam and left it. And she saw the hypocrisy and the lies of Islam. Then she came to America. And then one day, Beth and my daughters and Beth's mom knocked on her door. She started coming to church. She left Islam, became agnostic. So she started coming to the Bible study. You know what happened? She got saved. Praise God, you know. Once a follower of Islam, now she just loves Jesus. And I thank God that He led us there. You know, and this girl, she found love in Christ. You know what she found in Islam and Iran? Lies and women. Even her mom said, most of the people that are going to hell are women. That's what she learned from Islam. You know, what do you ladies think about that? I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? That's what, and I'm wondering, why do these ladies that sometimes you hear about want to follow Islam? And so she found the love of Christ right where we're at, you know. And that was from just knocking on her door. Right across the street is Elsa. Elsa's our German friend. That she was so sweet, gave out candy to the kids, sits on the front porch, people come to her. And while talking to her about the Lord, we found out that she was lost. She was very religious, but lost. And also we saw some Muslims that came over, Nick and Hibba. They like to argue, but they ask us some questions. You talk about some blessings, but there are some tribulations. Because we started out a college ministry as well. And that asks, one of the tribulations we go through is just simply the questions they ask. You know, Why is that? Because they get you really to examine your faith. How you witness to Muslims is know your Bible. Because they're going to ask you, isn't this a contradiction right here? What about this verse here? Why does Jesus say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Is Jesus God? You say he's God, right? Yeah. Well, who's he talking to? He says, does God have a God? He's saying, my God, and he's God. So does God have a God? It's a tough question, isn't it? Or it says, then blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he's the God of Jesus and the Father of Jesus. So that's a tribulation. We had to say, well, you know, let me think about that. You know, and you got to answer these questions. And we find that there is one God, and the Father honors the Son because he says, thy throne, O God, in Hebrews chapter 1 and in Psalm chapter 2. He saw in Psalms as well. And so the Father honors the Son. The Son honors the Father. God honors God. We have one God, but he manifests himself in these three persons. So, yeah, that's tough. But we found that these college students, they're listening. They're asking questions, and they're seeing that we love them. I was able to, I tried fasting on the first day of Ramadan. I said, look, my friend Hussein, you know, I'm getting a headache. I have seizures. I'm going to eat. He's like, okay, it's fine, Brother David. I was like, okay. But we're building relationships with them. They're loving us. And so that is a blessing. And we're seeing seeds planted. We've had Amar. He can't even speak any English, but he sent his sons to Vacation Bible School. And we're seeing God work in his life. Because he was actually in Lebanon, he went to a Catholic school, because that's what a lot of people do in Lebanon. The Muslims send their kids to Christian schools, and well, it's not Christian, but you know what I'm talking about. And so now he's heard the gospel. He's come to our church. We still follow him. And his son saw me at the door the other day. He smiled, and he's going to come back. And it's a blessing. He's not there every time. Amir was a fundamental Muslim, and I was wondering, you know, and being a fundamental Muslim, I built relationships with a church in Livonia. His uncle calls Livonia and says that his nephew needs a church because he just got saved. And Amir was fundamental, and then that pastor knew me and he sent him our way. And now he's faithfully getting discipled all the time and learning about Jesus. You know, it's a blessing, you know, to see that. And he's under attack because they ask him these same questions. They ask some hard questions a lot of times, and so he comes to me, and I'm just discipling him. And I find, you know what, that Jesus, he made disciples. And it says, Paul says to Timothy, the same things that thou hast learned of me, the same commit thou to faithful men, shall be able to teach others also. And those verses were very helpful to me. You know, I found that the college ministry, the discipleship, we had a commercial we put out on television, and we did it with like some Arabic people, and we're discipling them. We're saying we're witnessing the Arabic community. But Ken, my African American friend, my black friend, said this. He calls up after seeing the commercial. He says, you know what? I'm saved, but I need to get back in church. I'm backslidden. I was like, hey, come on. You know what? And so God used that commercial to see Ken come. So now we have a Lebanese man that was a Muslim. We have a German lady that was a Lutheran. We have an Iranian girl that was a Muslim. And me and my wife and friends and some others that come. We got a little mix going on in this little Bible study. Because I believe the church is a saved, baptized group of believers that are called out from God, called to Jesus to get the gospel to the world. Yeah. And so we have just a few people. They're saved, but some of them are baptized. Amir got baptized. And now he's following the Lord Jesus Christ. And I find that thousands and thousands of people have now received the gospel, whether it be through door knocking or through putting flyers on the doors or giving out tracts to people all over Dearborn and this Dearborn Heights in this area. So we planted all kinds of seeds. And you know who builds the church? Christ. Christ has come to build the church. And so we have this little group that's just going out. They're loving. We're seeing them grow in the faith. We're seeing them tell others about Jesus. We're seeing them being faithful to do what God would have them do. And, you know, and this is all because of the faithful God that we serve, because of people like you. And I just thank you all so much for loving us and supporting us and helping us. And I know we don't have too much more time, but if you can, please just keep us in prayer. I could go on and on about stories of how God has led us and showed us what he'd have us to do. But I realize this, that all of us have tribulation. We had people say, you know what, it's harder to plant a church in Dearborn than it is in Cairo. You know, my friend that's he plants churches as well. I said, yeah, I see what you're saying. There's some tribulation. But I rest the same God that built his church in Egypt is still working in me as well. And he's going to build the church while he's building us. We all have tribulation, but we have a God that is greater. You can rest in the fact that he is the light of the world, that he is the one that is working in us to conform us to his image through tribulation. And in it all, my God, he does supply our needs according to his riches and mercy in Christ Jesus. And that was written to a faithful missionary supporting church just like you. And I encourage you to keep faithful to serve God through missions here and missions throughout the earth. So if God has placed on your heart to do more for faith promise giving, it is not in vain. Because the churches like you that support us, you now have fruit that abounds to your account in Egypt and in Dearborn, Michigan. Let's pray. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Yes.
And God, I do thank you so much for your goodness to us and all we have in Christ.
Yes.
And Lord, I do pray for this church that you would use them to see others saved right here. For their Easter service, for the Easter outreach, many to come out to do your work. God, you're faithful and you're good. We love you in Jesus' name.